your non-stop entertainment radio.
Down here below, walking among the cynical, he calls his friend, he leads us to heaven. Yes, just high, patient and pure. No, not like man, his love is sure. You can't be saved, just call that name. Cross before me, the grave behind, all praise, all glory, be lifted high. Jesus, Jesus. A crown of thorns upon his head, nails in his hands, his skin, his side. What a sacrifice. So blood will never
Good evening, good evening. This is Starbright. We're on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Let us pray. Father, my God, we thank you. King of kings, we worship you. Son of God, you are so good. We thank you for the air that we breathe. We thank you for the breath in our lungs. We thank you because you are good. You are kind. We thank you because excellent is your name. We thank you, Father, oh my God, for we've seen this time in the day. Many woke up this morning and have not seen this time. We're grateful that we saw this time and we've seen this time in the day. Thank you, Father, oh my God, for family. Thank you, Father, oh my God, for friends. Thank you for the wisdom that you pour into us, Father, oh my God. Thank you for helping us on this journey. Thank you, Father, oh my God, for you, O Lord, you rescue us from all the perils of that and the traps the enemy plants. Thank you, Father, oh my God, for you are our deliverer, you are our savior, you are the lover of our soul, you are our friend, you are our help in times of need. We just want to say thank you. Thank you, Father, oh my God. We bring before you the things that are in our hearts. Lord, we ask, we bring them before you. Because, Lord, though we've weighed them up and we've prayed about it, Father, my God, before, we bring it before you, asking, oh Lord, for you to intervene in situations and circumstances that we find ourselves. We ask you, Father, oh my God, that every trap the enemy has planted, that the enemy will fall into it itself, that Father my God, King of kings, you protect us. Lord Jesus, we ask for your protection for every trap the enemy has planted. Father my God, we pray that delay, oh Lord, anything that's delayed will not be denied in the name of Jesus, and that you will come through. You will come through. That you have the final say over situations. So everything that is delayed, Father my God, we come before you and we ask, have your way. Have your way. Do not let the enemy win in these situations and these circumstances, but have your way. Father my God, anyone that's feeling unwell, we ask for your grace to be upon them, your healing mercies to come upon them and make them whole, make them well in the name of Jesus. Father my God, those that have started new jobs, Lord, give them the wisdom. Give them the wisdom they need and require for the new roles in the name of Jesus. Father my God, it says your teachers will not be far. Provide for them the right teacher to teach them in the new role in the name of Jesus. Father my God, King of kings, we ask that you'll help those who believe in you to conceive. That Father my God, they will conceive, carry well, O Lord, and deliver well in name of Jesus. Those believing, Father my God, for the exam results, O Lord, help those that are studying, Father my God, and help them to achieve success in the name of Jesus. Father my God, those believing to be married, Lord Jesus, we ask that you provide them, that you will choose their spouse in the name of Jesus. And Father my God, you will help them in the marriage in the name of Jesus. There's so many things we just lift up before you, and we ask, Lord, hear our hearts cry and come through for us this day and every day in Jesus' name. Amen. Want to welcome you all to the program. We were looking at several things last week, and I'm going to just continue with some of them. Okay. In our relationships, in our friendships, do we value and understand what we have? Do we understand the favor and the depth of it, especially in a marriage? You know, it says, he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor. Favor is, you know, sometimes I like saying flavor. It adds something to the relationship. Adds something. But do we recognize it? Do we value it? even women, do you value it in yourself, recognize it, the Lord to help. Because sometimes when you've heard a negative word so much, you can believe it. Even on a subconscious level, you don't want to believe it. But sometimes on your subconscious, you do end up in the depth of you believing in God to help in those situations. I want to read Amos. Going to read Amos, but before I read that, Genesis 2:24, it talks about that is why a man leaves father and mother and is united with his wife, you know, and they become one flesh. God asked the man to leave, and we have to ask what the relevance is. Some have heard it say leave and cleave, that you hang on to, that you join together. Now I do know that families come together in a marriage, you know, and that is true, but there's a different connection that comes with husband and wife, and we need God's grace and help to get that connection. Because that relationship is compared to in the Bible as Christ and the church. So we know that is an important, you know, God asked man to leave. Now I want us to look at it in another way as well. Christ left heaven, the presence of God, came down to earth to bridge that gap for us, between us and God. And he took upon our sin. So there was a separation between God and Christ, especially at a point where he took upon our sin. And in the Bible it talks about Jesus saying, "Why have you forsaken me?" He took upon the sin. There was a leaving, there was a separation, as it were. And if we look at it, because it's the relationship of Christ and the church is compared to in the Word as a husband and wife, that separation caused us to be joined. You know, that taking upon sin, dying for our sins, bridge the gap between us and God. So that is quite important. So we can say, as it were, that separation, figuratively, okay, between a man and the family. Because if we look at it, Jesus went back to the Father. You know, he didn't separate altogether. It was to show that there was a sacrifice to be made, and he was willing to make. So the sacrifice that the man makes brings about and gives birth to a union with the bride, with the wife, okay? And they become one flesh. We have become one with Christ in the way that we become co-heirs with Christ. And it's very important for us to know that there was a price that was paid. So in a relationship, there's a price to pay. We can't do the same thing before the relationship, during the relationship. There has to be a price to pay. So I could say that if when you were single before the relationship, you used to go out a lot, well, it's not that you stop going out, but you have to go with someone else, with your your spouse. It's the price to pay. To pay that price means that you're investing in the union. Okay? And after a while, you don't look at it as a price. It becomes that this is what we do. We also need to a separation from the past and what is known, and a coming together to make a new destiny. So when you give your life to Christ, you are not sure the path and journey that you're going to take, and you are having that new destiny. There's a new outcome for you because you've been born again. So same thing with a marriage. When you get married, there is a new destiny. It's like you've come off one lane and you're going to another, and you're never sure what's coming along on the journey, but you know it's going to be good, because you're now stronger, because you're becoming one flesh with another. We've got to learn about each other's strengths, weaknesses, and play strength together and each other to cover the spouse's weaknesses, and not to expose it, even in anger. We've got to cover each other. In a relationship, we've got to cover each other. Now, some people will say that happens as you get married, but if you're in a serious relationship, you have got to practice this, because it's a skill that you've got to learn. I'll give an example, as it's come to mind now, is that when you give your life to Christ, it says all things have passed away, see new things. But those old things are not wiped away from your consciousness immediately. You have to develop new habits. So if there was something that you used to do, and you know that I can't do that now because I'm in Christ, then you have got to practice. You've got to practice, and I say practice, and ask God to help you so that you don't do it, or you don't fall into it. So for example, I'll give an example. You decided to do a diet. You decided that you need to lose some weight. Or you could say eat healthily. You will find that suddenly when you decide that, you might get a bit hungry where you never used to get hungry. Or you might suddenly have a craving, oh, I need to have a biscuit. You never used to have biscuits during the day. You now suddenly think, oh, I need biscuits. You might decide that, oh, you used to have one biscuit and be satisfied, but I'm going to cut it out. But now you have a craving for having 2-3 biscuits. These things we have to be aware of. Okay? And these things we have to keep our eyes open to, in a relationship, to help and support each other on our journey. The Lord is helping us, and we need to help our spouse on the journey. So if you know they have a weakness in an area, then we need to support each other in those areas, because it might be a strength for you. So let your strength cover their weakness. Okay, now it says in Amos 3, I'm going to start from 3. Can two walk together without agreeing on a direction? Does a lion ever roar in a thicket without first finding a victim? Does a young lion growl in its den without first catching its prey? Does a bird ever get caught in a trap that has no bait? Does a trap ever spring shut when there's nothing to catch? When the war trumpet blares, shouldn't the people be alarmed? When disaster comes to a city, isn't it because the Lord planned it? Now, all these are questions. But always, first of all, I warn you through your servants, the prophets. I, the sovereign Lord, have now done this. Now, it's all about what the Lord has done. But these questions are asking, can two people walk together unless they agree a direction? Does a lion ever roar without? So that it's making us think that there's always a reason for something. There's always something. Now I'm going to read another translation. Oh, just gone to my app and it kind of, okay, it's opened. Can two walk together unless they meet by appointment? Does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Does a young lion growl from its den unless he has taken prey? Does a bird fall into a trap on the ground if it has no bait? Will a snare spring up from the ground without taking anything? So there is layers. We need to think about these things. Can we walk with someone in a relationship without, it says, unless they meet by appointment and unless they agree on a direction? Some versions say unless they agree. Can we walk on a journey with the Lord unless we agree with where he's taking us? Can we go that journey unless we agree with the Lord and walk that journey? Can we go on that journey unless we meet with the Lord by appointment? The same with friendship. Same with even at work. Can you walk on the journey with the team unless you agree to walk that journey? If you go to an organization and they have certain things and ethos, and you can only stay in that if you agree to it. But if you start doing your own thing and not following or falling in line, you're then not in agreement. And then you have to ask yourself, can we walk together? Can we go together? Can we actually be fruitful in, you know, in this workplace unless there's an agreement? You know, there has to be an agreement on a task, on a project, on what we're doing. There has to be an agreement for anything in a relationship. If when you're buying a house, there has to be an agreement, the house you're buying. One person can't be liking it and the other person not. There has to be an agreement. There has to be an agreement when between someone hiring someone and someone wanting to be hired, that this is a salary, this is the working condition. There has to be an agreement. There has to be an agreement in a friendship that this is how the friendship is going to do. This is how the friendship is going to pan out. There has to be an agreement in a relationship, in a marriage, between parent and child. All these things take agreement to work. It has to be agreed, either verbally or written down, or just agreed in a subconscious level that this is what I am doing or not doing. Our eldest one time said, I am not going to do X, Y, and Z, and listed because it found, I think somebody else had done something and thought it was not appropriate, not right. How could they do this? But announced to me, he was not going to ever do that kind of thing. You know, he made a agreement with himself, but also let me know. And I said, oh, thank you very much. Not going to do certain things. You know, in parenting, you make an agreement with your child that this, in this house, we do not do this, we do not do that, but we do this, we do that. There has to be, for something to be fruitful, it starts with an agreement. So even for us, we have to ask ourselves, what are we agreeing with? Is it something that is an alignment with God, or something from the past, or something that you know, has come up in our minds, our hearts? What are we agreeing with? We can't walk with Christ unless we agree with his direction. We can't go his will unless we agree. The same thing in a relationship. It's easy to agree when you don't know what you're agreeing to. Sometimes we don't want to let the other know exactly what's happening, as we expect the worst. Okay, so we might say, do you agree? Yeah, agree. You know, in the wedding vows, there's an agreement. Would you love? Would you honor? It's an agreement. I will, I do. All those are agreements. So sometimes we can just say, yeah. You know, even in parenting, you might not listen very well and you just agree, yeah. Or you might be tired, yeah. And then afterwards say, wait, what did I agree to? And child might say, oh, you said we could do this. And you think, oh, I don't feel like doing this. Oh, no, we can't do it. You have to start rescinding the agreement. So sometimes we don't want to let the other know exactly what is happening, as we expect the worst. Sometimes in a relationship, you know, money, finances is a thing. Sometimes one spends money they shouldn't have on something they shouldn't have, or too much, more than the agreement. Said something they shouldn't have said, even in a workplace. We need to walk together and know the importance of each other in our lives. We need to value the relationships we have. Now, I want to ask yourself, do you value your relationships? Do you value your friendships? Do you value the work colleagues you have? Do you value your friendships? Do you value, what weight do you place your relationship, your marriage? Do you value those things? Then I want you to ask yourself those questions. Because everybody has to place a value on that relationship. I could have a friend, but if I do not value them, then they are not a friend. You know, someone you know. But your friendships need to have a value on them. They need, because you're asking, those friendships, those connections are pouring into your life. So if you don't value what they say, or they're not going to pour something in your life in a positive way, then we have to weigh up, what is that value? What is that value? Your relationship, what's the value? And I'm not talking monitoring. It's like, what is it worth? What is it, you know, what is it adding? That favor that is adding. We need to ask ourselves those questions. We're going to have a break. Okay? And after the break, we'll continue. We'll be back after the break.
Hard to see what you are doing here in the ruins and where this will lead. Oh, but I know that down through the years, I'll look back on this moment and see your hand on it. Know you were here, and I'll testify of the battles you won. How you were my portion when there wasn't enough, and I'll sing the song of the seas that we crossed. The water
We're going to look at Proverbs 18, 21. But we're going to start from 20. Let's look at 20. Words satisfy the soul as food satisfies the stomach. The right words on a person's lips bring satisfaction. Those who love to talk will experience the consequences. For the tongue can kill or nourish life. Okay, I'm going to read that in another translation because there's a lot. Proverbs 18, I'm going to do from 20. From the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest of his lips, he is satisfied. So, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest of his lips, he is satisfied. So, the other translation said, words satisfy the soul as food satisfies the stomach. The right words on a person's lips bring satisfaction. It's giving a different connotations here because if we look at the fruit, we can look at the end product. We can look at what is produced from a tree, from a plant. So, for example, the Grandma Starbright is growing peppers and tomatoes. The fruit is the tomatoes. The fruit is the peppers. With the harvest of his lips, he's satisfied. So what you say and you eat of, it will satisfy. So what is the tomatoes and the peppers will satisfy. But we have to be careful because if the fruit is not ripe enough, not in season, not enriched enough, then it's not going to satisfy. I'm sure a lot of you have eaten fruits that out of season. A case in point is strawberries. If you love to eat strawberries, you can always tell when it's in season, when it's not in season. It has a different taste and a different type of sweetness. So, at the right season, words that are spoken can satisfy, can actually fill you, can comfort you, can heal you, can nourish you, can restore you, can do things that will satisfy, that would bring maybe solace, that will bring joy, that will bring peace, that will bring. So we have to be aware of what is said. Now it says death and life are in the control of the tongue. Those who indulge in it will eat its fruit. So this is just almost reaffirming what it says, you know, with the harvest, with the fruit. So what we say about the situation, our relationship, our friendship, and things can bring life or death, can they have a consequence to it. So it says those who love to talk will experience a consequence, for the tongue can kill or nourish life. What we say has an importance, has a weight, has an impact. Whether we think it or not, it impacts. So sometimes the way someone says something or the way something is said, it can either live like what people say, a good taste or a bad taste. But I want to even say that depending on what is we say, it can help. You know, when you're feeling down in a relationship, you want the other person to be able to encourage you, lift you, to say something that is productive, that will help produce that life. Now, I want to encourage people in relationship, marriage, even if you think, you know, wow, you need to find a way to say what you want to say so that it brings life to the hearer. You want to be able to say and bring life to the hearer. You don't want to say something and it cuts them down. You want to bring life. So even if it's a case that they are wrong, it's learning the skill. It's a skill to learn how to say what you want to say with bringing life and not death to a situation. Jesus is the expert. Jesus is the expert. He knows how to say what to say and when to say. So when we need to say something, we need to go to Master Jesus. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, how do I say? How do I bring life and not death to the situation, to the circumstance, to, you know, how do I bring life? Because, as he says, those who love to talk will experience the consequences, for the tongue can kill or nourish life. So there's a choice there. What choice are we making in our words? What choice are we making? Because in hurt and pain, there can be a lot that is said, but we need to ask God to help us to find the right words to say and when we need to say what we need to say. sometimes you have very valid point, but the timing is off. Very valid point, but the timing. So we need to find the right timing. We need to find the right time, and we need to ask the Lord, when is the right time to say and to do what we need to do? Okay? The Lord is helping us on this journey. If we're not careful, we can fall into the trap the enemy sets for us and tear down each other. As it says above, there is life and death in the tongue. And we can kill our relationship, our marriage, our friendship with our tongue. And we can live with the consequences of that if we don't just stop and ask the Lord what to say. If both people take that position, it will be better off. Because in our marriages, especially in marriage, we don't want the enemy to gain a foothold. As we spoke about it last week, everybody submit to others, as it says in in Ephesians. Now in Ephesians 5:22, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord." But before that, it talks about submit to each other as unto Christ. So if there's a submission to each other, we're then bringing Jesus into that relationship, into that marriage. Even like I spoke of last week, there are some friendships that you need to pray for your friendships, because, you know, there's a level of friendship that you've given permission to each other to speak into your lives. So there's some relationships that I have that I treasure deeply. It's going to cost if they're lost, you know. And so I pray for those relationships. And I'll pray with the person that, you know, let the Lord protect our relationship. And there's times that you can trigger each other. And you have to ask for forgiveness. And you have to get an deeper understanding of each other. So that you're speaking nourishing words to each other. This is very, very important in friendship, and especially in a marriage. I've been told I'm running out of time, but I encourage you to read Ephesians from 22 to 28. Now I did read the wives submit to your own husbands, but I want you to in 28, Ephesians 5:28, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So as you would do for yourself, do for your wife. There has to be accountability as well. In Colossians 3:18, it talks about wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Same kind of thing. Same kind of thing. We've got in Titus 2, 4. We've got so many. 1 Peter 3:1, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husband, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. There's so many scriptures that he's talking about, and I'm not just focusing on wives, but I'm talking about husbands. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. You know, so there's a lot in the word, but we really need to be mindful of them. We've come to the end of the program. Father, my God, we thank you. We praise you. You indeed has helped us on this journey that we are thus far. There's so much happening in the world, and we ask that, Lord, there is not rumors of wars. We bring the world to you. What's happening all over the world, we bring it to you. Lord, let your peace come down. There is so much going on all around the place. We ask for your peace. Your peace that is not based on situation, on circumstance, but you. Please, in your mercy, intervene. 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 We need you like never before. Intervene. Intervene. In so much that is happening, not only in the UK, but around the world. We need you, Lord. It's not only wars, Father my God. We're not in the rumors of wars. There's outbreaks of this. There's so much happening. We need you. Because as I look at it, where's the solution coming? It's only from you. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear the prayers of us that are crying out to you to intervene in the wars that are happening, in children being kidnapped. So much is happening. Lord, please, Lord, heal this world and let these devastations come to an end. Father, we only have you. We only have you because we don't know who else to turn to. Take control, Daddy. Jesus, take control. In Jesus' name, amen. We've come to the end of the program. We have a Starbright via Zoom. You can reach out to get the Zoom code and connect up. And just to be blessed, it's going to be short Saturday via Zoom. So wherever you are around the world, you can tune in. Until next week, have a blessed and glorious week. And bye for now.
Lift it up, hey.